makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Another program proving that fact is stranger than fiction, bringing you the most thrilling and amazing happenings, some of them almost beyond belief, yet every one of them true. If you doubt anything you hear on the Strange as It Seems program, write in and you can get the proof. However, here's one fact that needs no proof. X-Lax is the most popular laxative in the whole wide world. Over 46 million boxes were bought last year in America alone. There must be a reason for such an astounding record. There are several reasons. X-Lax is milder, gentler, yet with all its mildness and gentleness, it is thoroughly effective. Then too, X-Lax is such a delight to take. It tastes just like delicious chocolate. Next time you need a laxative for any member of the family, ask for X-Lax at any drugstore. It's only 10 cents a box. The world's smartest counterfeiter. You are looking into a large room with a north window high above the noise of the city. Under this window stands a man deeply engrossed in his work. He is working with a microscope attached to one eye and is carefully examining a copper engraving. So intent is he that he does not hear the door open. Close.
Are you coming, Sam?
Huh? Oh. Oh, no, Joe. Hey, give me the jitters sneaking up on me like that.
Nearly finished?
Sure, take it easy, will you? Counterfeiting isn't any fast job.
Not so loud, not so loud. Someone's moving into the office next door. Can't let them know what's going on in here.
Say, what's the matter with you, Joe? You're all nervous.
You know what the boss will say if we have to move again.
Okay, okay. Just pipe down now and take a last look at this. Here, use this microscope.
All right. Looks like a perfect job to me.
Yeah. Well, I guess the engraving part's all done.
Gosh, I gotta hand it to you, Sam. You're a real artist when it comes to a portrait. That copy is perfect.
Yeah, wait until I make a pressing of it. You never know how it's gonna turn out on paper.
Well, hurry up, then.
Yeah, here goes. Now for that old microscope. Perfect.
No. Again?
Sure. I tell you, you gotta fix up that scroll work. It's a cinch to copy.
Oh, you're too good, Sam. But let me tell you, I'm sure glad you're working with us and not against us.
Strange as it seems, this man is an honest counterfeiter. He is employed by one of the banknote companies to make counterfeits of currency and bonds. If he can copy a bill perfectly, the company realizes that it can be counterfeited, and they must do a better job. Mrs. Bloomer. It is 1849 in the town of Homer, New York. Mrs. Amelia Jenks Bloomer, editor of The Lily, a woman's magazine, is busy in her office.
Joe, I want you to take this story to the printer.
All right, Mrs. Bloomer. Is it the one about the girl who eloped?
Yes.
Well, you know best, Mrs. Bloomer, but you remember what happened last month when you published a story about the woman who talked back to her husband? It caused a lot of trouble.
Well, I hope it did. It's about time women expressed themselves. I hope to see the day when they'll have the vote.
Gosh. Well, I guess I'd better get to the printer.
Yes, be off with you. Next month, I'm going to put those men in their place. I'm going to write an editorial about women chewing tobacco. Come in. Good morning.
I'm Mrs. Elizabeth Smith Miller. I don't know whether you remember my name or not, but...
Oh, of course I do. You're the one who's so interested in women's dress reform.
Yes. I wanted to talk to you about an idea I've worked out.
Sit down, Mrs. Miller.
Thank you. It's very daring. You may not want to sponsor it.
And if it's daring, I'm sure I'll want to sponsor it.
Well, briefly, I have never been in sympathy with the skirts. They seem a badge of servitude to me.
That's true. What change have you in mind?
Trousers.
Mercy, that is daring.
Not at all, Mrs. Bloomer, not at all. I would have a skirt reaching down partway to the ankle, not made as full as the present fashion. And underneath the skirt, I would have the trousers moderately full. In mild weather, they could come to the ankle and would be gathered in with elastic.
Well, well, that might become very popular.
At last, women will be on an equal footing with men, and that is so important. Don't you think so?
Yes, indeed. Very well, I've made up my mind. In 6 months' time, every woman who reads the Lily will be wearing trousers. In fact, I hope to sponsor a new article of wearing apparel called the Bloomer Trouser.
Strange as it seems, Mrs. Bloomer's wishes came true, and her name has been immortalized by the article of wearing apparel, which she sponsored nearly 90 years ago. The Strange Story of the Steamboat. In 1793, the streets of Paris are seething with crowds of angry men and women, inflamed by the oratory of Danton and Robespierre, ready for the match that is soon to light the bloody flares of the Reign of Terror. Among the few peaceful souls in Paris is a young American named John Fitch. He has come to France in quest of money for a new invention which he has already tried out successfully in America. Discouraged at every turn, he at length secures an audience with Danton, the leader of the revolutionists.
Come in, Monsieur Fitch.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Monsieur Danton, you have reached a decision?
Yes. At present, the French government is not interested in such a visionary idea.
It's more than an idea, Monsieur Danton. It's a reality.
A steamboat is fantastic.
Ah, why is everyone so blind? Someday, when great moving palaces cross the ocean by steam, you will regret your decision.
It would seem to me, Monsieur Fitch, that in your enthusiasm you exaggerate.
Oh, but I don't. Monsieur Danton, why not join hands with me in freeing the navigator from the bondage of wind?
For thousands of years, men have sailed their ships by the wind. How do we know that steam will accomplish the same result?
A steamboat will cut the world in half.
You're an inventor. I cannot expect you to think clearly.
But I tell you, I already have a steamboat carrying passengers from Philadelphia to Trenton.
Nevertheless, as spokesman for France, I refuse your offer. If you will go to the Palais de Justice, you can get your ship's models. Bonjour, Monsieur Fitch.
Goodbye.
If you are interested, Mr. Fulton, come in and look at them.
Thank you.
They belong to another American named Fitch. He's coming for them this morning.
Oh,
You see, they're boats propelled by steam. Those big wheels on the side are supposed to be made to move around and around by steam pressure.
Well, that's perfectly possible. Why, this will revolutionize the world. Look at that ship model. Someday you will regret having allowed it to go back to America.
Well, perhaps.
Did you say this American has tried and failed to get the money for his invention?
He says he has a company in America that only needs money to begin building ships like these. Yeah. I'm afraid he's going to be disappointed.
I wonder.
Is this the room where... Oh, I see them.
Well, Monsieur Fitch, you've come for your models, eh?
Yes.
Well, here they are, safe and sound.
Thank you.
Come, Monsieur Fulton, let us be on our way.
Oh, very well. My last chance is England.
Thank you for letting me see the models, Mr. Fitcher, but I do not think we can consider them at the present time. The expense of making these boats would be quite prohibitive.
England needs these ships, Lord Douglas. Why, with the steamboat, England can vanquish the world.
Think before you definitely give them up.
I have thought, Mr. Fitch. I'm sorry to say that we feel them to be the idle dream of a visionary American.
Again, that.
Oh, they're amusing toys. Perhaps they might go once around a pond, but they're not to be taken seriously.
I had hoped that England would see the light.
We are a nation of sailors, Mr. Fitch. You should have taken your invention to Switzerland. Oh, rather good there. Oh.
I may as well go.
America is the place for you, Mr. Fitch.
Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement.
Look at her go. Look at that, will you? Say, would you ever have believed it?
My gosh, when Bob Fulton said he was going to launch her, I thought he was crazy in the head.
Look at those wheels go.
Makes a gall darnest noise. What's he calling it?
The Claremont. See, there's Fulton now, standing right over there.
Yeah.
Let's go and talk to
him. All right.
Well, Bob Fulton.
Give me a hand. You went and did it, didn't you?
Yes, and give me a hand. Yes, sir, it's a great day. A great day for America. And a great day for you.
Your name will go down in history, Robert Fulton. Sure as the world.
Yes, I'm a happy man. Happy that I've been proven right.
You should be a happy man, Fulton. It's the fruit of your labors, the child of your brain. No other man can ever take this glory away from you.
No. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
And yet, 9 years before in Bardstown, Kentucky, John Fitch, the real inventor of the steamboat, had died penniless and forgotten, the victim of his own despairing hand. Thus strange as it seems, Robert Fulton, made famous by this discovery, was not the real inventor of the steamboat. Speaking of discoveries, once upon a time, some 28 years ago, a wonderful way was discovered of blending a mild, gentle, yet thoroughly effective laxative with smooth, velvety, delicious chocolate. These little tablets were made, and the world found them such a blessing that the demand grew and grew, until last year over 46 million boxes of X-Lax were bought in America alone. We don't have to say that X-Lax is the world's best laxative. The world says it for us by buying more than they do of any other brand. X-Lax is so mild, so gentle, yet so effective. It is equally good for young people and older people, and it tastes just like delicious chocolate. With all of these advantages, there is still another, its price. A box costs only 10 cents at any drugstore. Stonewall Jackson was one of the greatest generals of the Civil War. His men adored him, and yet he was a martyr by accident. Be sure and listen to the next Strange as It Seems broadcast. Do you know the amazing story of the world's largest diamond and how it was sent from Africa to England in a... But wait until the next program to hear the rest. You will also hear of living thermometers. There aren't any? You're mistaken. You may even have them in your own home. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. You cannot buy postage stamps in a post office.